advice from an author and how women can navigate the workplace and negotiate pay. Be calm and direct, but be firm. We're talking about the workplace on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. But first, our fall membership drive is going strong. I'm here with Andrea Schwerbel. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Kate. Good to be here.
Good to be here with you. And we're here to say the largest source of funding for WPR programs is from listeners. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Over the last hour, we heard from 17 donors. Thank you to everyone who gave. And our goal this hour is to get 20 gifts.
Indeed. Help pay for the programs you rely on every day when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, federal and state tax dollars do provide important funding for WPR programs, which comes from listeners like you, but voluntary listener support is actually the biggest percentage of support for WPR programs.
That's right. You make the difference. You make that quality, the variety, the independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. And because WPR matters to you, make that personal contribution to pay for the programs that you appreciate, programs you listen to each day at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given to WPR before, it is a short process. What you can expect is just some basic questions, your name and address, the amount of your gift, and how you would like to pay it.
That's it. Super quick. Make that first donation to WPR. You will feel good about it because listener support is such a big part of what makes WPR happen, what makes us tick. Many first-time donors give $10 a month or $120. The amount totally is up to you at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You could win an extra $250 to spend at the grocery store when you make a gift of any amount for the WPR programs you rely on. Stock up on the healthy food you know you should eat more of, or splurge on your favorite snacks. Five winners will receive a gift card for their local grocery store. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. No contribution is necessary. Find all the details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your gift now. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. Listener support, it's the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this fall member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And making the decision to support WPR right now, it's a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And then your gift supports the stories, the programs, these conversations that keep you connected to the world and Wisconsin. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have 50 minutes left this hour. In order to meet our goal of 20 donations, you make WPR possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And how about support WPR and ask for the new baseball cap with the WPR logo on the front? You show off your public media pride wherever you go. So ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, it's a great time to become one. Set up monthly donations at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This way, you'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love and automatically get entered in any drawings we have during member drives.
We heard from Kristen Appleton, who says, since our move to Wisconsin, my wife and I started our day each morning listening to WPR and decided it was time to contribute to a service that educates, informs, and enlightens us. Keep up the great work. Chris, thank you for your support. It is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org. And thanks. So a lower starting salary here, a slower promotion there. After a decade of being in the workforce, author Stacey Vanek Smith writes, women are in a significantly different place professionally and financially than the men they started alongside. And her new book recognizes the power dynamics and gives practical tips on what women can do in the moment and over time. Have you been passed over for promotion? Experienced bias, unconscious or conscious, by a supervisor or manager? When you spoke up about your job performance or pay, what happened? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Stacey Vanek Smith is co-host of The Indicator from Planet Money on NPR, author of the new book, Machiavelli for Women, Defend Your Worth, Grow Your Ambition, and Win the Workplace. Stacey, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, Equal Pay Day, it comes and goes each year, along with that same statistic. Women make about 80 cents to the man's dollar. So take us beyond the stats. Give us a fuller sense of what women are encountering at work.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, there's a little bit of a disconnect. And this is what, I've been reporting on business and economics for about 15 years. And I did notice this disconnect. I've noticed it for a long time, where on the one hand, there's so much progress being made. Women are going, you know, getting law degrees and medical degrees and business school degrees and higher numbers, going into new fields, a lot of women going into, you know, STEM fields, science and technology and things like that. On the other hand, there are these statistics that just seem stuck, and pay is a big one. Pay is great because you can measure it. You know, it's mm-hmm. like one of those things that you can actually measure. Mm-hmm. And it has been stuck, like you said, at 80 cents on the dollar. And it's almost been stuck for 20 years. It's basically been stuck for 20 years. It's been really stuck for 10, which is just shocking. If you see all the change that has been made in the last 10 years, 20 years, it's enormous. All through our economy, just the way that we live and work has changed so much. And the fact that the pay gap has been stuck was really striking to me. And it's, you know, the numbers break down in sort of even more disturbing ways. For Black women, it's about 63 cents on the dollar. For Latina and Indigenous women, it's about 55 cents on the dollar. Mm. And those numbers have been stuck. But also CEOs, like the number of executives, the share of executives that are women, the share of executives who are people of color, are the same. Executives, CEOs are about 80% male and about 90% white. And those numbers are stuck too. So it's a strange disconnect. I mean, because I've witnessed a lot of the progress in the workplace myself. I've been a part of it. I've seen really amazing things over the last couple decades. At the same time, some stuff just hasn't changed.
So enter Machiavelli, stage right, wrote the prince. Wrote the Prince, 1513, and you call Machiavelli the first champion of real talk. What clarity can he offer women now?
Well, I think the thing that has made Machiavelli's work really timeless is sort of the same thing that has made it so controversial, so scandalous, which is that he's very analytical. He just kind of removes emotion and morality from situations and looks at it like, well, you know, if you are a prince, he writes it from the point of view of a prince, and you want to grow your power, you want to solidify your power, what do you have to do? So sometimes he recommends things like killing people if you've wronged them so that they're not angry with you and plotting revenge, which, you know, I do not condone, for the
Please
record.
Please don't, right.
don't kill anybody. But one of the things I found particularly useful was, I think, with issues of if you're experiencing discrimination at work or unfair treatment at work or just a bad workplace, it can be very emotional. I know it's definitely been that way for me, and it can be hard to move forward or to even see a way forward. And so Machiavelli's great because he would just look at a situation saying like, okay, well, here is a workplace where let's say women tend to get paid less than men. So I'm in this workplace, I'm a woman. What do I need to do to get my pay up? Just kind of in, I mean, I guess it's not that much of a revelation, but for me, it was just, it was a revelation that you could just approach the problem in a very logical way and not get caught up in the injustice and inequality of it, but just to say like, okay, these are the, this is the situation with them that I'm dealing with. How can I move forward?
You bring up the scenario of the hot box happens to women mid-career, get within spitting distance from leadership or positions of power, but then they get caught. What is this hot box?
So this is a term that I am not great at sports. I am a public radio person. Not that the two are mutually exclusive, because they're not. You might be great at sports, Kate. I bet you are. But I was, so I was on a T-ball team when I was growing up in Idaho. And one of the things that that happened to me was one of the times I got a hit, which was quite memorable for me because it didn't happen all the time, even in T-ball, was that I hit the ball into the outfield and I was running from first base to second base, and the outfielder threw it to the second baseman who caught it. But I turned around and went back to, cause I wasn't quite at second base yet. So I was like, oh, this is great. I'll just run back to first base. But then the second baseman threw it to the first baseman, and that is a hot box. That is the term. So you're basically caught in a losing situation where you're kind of running yourself ragged. And the way this translates to women in the workplace is that we have a lot of associations with women and men that we're often not even conscious of. But there are a lot of the tests. Harvard has a really cool online test you can take to look at they call them unconscious biases. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that qualities that people admire in women are being giving, being selfless, being compassionate, self-deprecating,
being
supporting
feminine.
Others.
Yeah.
Very feminine. Yeah. And those are great. I mean, honestly, those are great qualities. I feel like the world would be a better place if we had more of those qualities. But the problem is the qualities that people associate with good leadership are not those qualities. It's being independent, not caring too much what other people think, speaking up, being assertive. And so when women get into positions of management and leadership, they end up in the situation where if they display a lot of feminine qualities, people like them, but do not think they're necessarily competent or right for a leadership position. And if they display a lot of leadership qualities, if they're assertive, if they're outspoken, they might be considered for some leadership qualities, but they won't be well liked. Mm. You know, you hear the term like dragon lady or shrill, things like that come up around for women. And that can block them off from upper management positions, because you do have to be liked oftentimes to get a really competitive job.
I'm going to jump in here. We have Stacey Vanek Smith, co-host of NPR's The Indicator from Planet Money, covering business and economics for years, out with a new guide for women navigating the workplace. We'll pick this up ahead on the Ideas Network. We're exploring a new book about bias and discrimination in the workplace and practical tools on how to fight against the gender pay gap. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's discuss our fall membership drive. I'm here with Andrea Schwerbel, and we're here to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like The Morning Show. Support from people like you is the largest piece of the funding for WPR programs. And that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We have about 40 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 16 more people to join in. So your gift right now is so important, because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
And thank you if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You hear great guests all day long and all week long here on the Ideas Network. This is a unique radio service, and your support makes it possible. Make a gift now for this station that you rely on and enjoy as part of your daily routine. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And a great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustainer. And as a sustaining member, you make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
Many people give $10 or $20 a month, but you choose whatever amount is right for you. Become a sustainer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Show off your support for the programs you love with the new WPR baseball cap. This tan-colored adjustable hat complements all styles. How would you rock the WPR baseball cap?
Oh, there's nothing that doesn't work with a baseball cap. If you can't wear a baseball cap with it, I don't want it in my closet. That's it.
I would wear it with an evening gown to a formal occasion just to shock people into discussing Wisconsin Public Radio.
You could also wear it inside at night. You know, maybe turn it around backwards so you look real cool at the bar or at home with your family.
The WPR baseball cap will be your new favorite accessory. Ask for yours now when you give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. Your support during this fall member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. In your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And if you have already renewed or you're making ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, we want to say thank you. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are really the backbone of WPR.
That is correct. If you haven't given yet, join thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 16 more people to join us in order to meet our goal for the hour. WPR is listener powered, and your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Anne in Madison says, I listen to every morning and every evening during the week. Thank you for all that you do, and thank you for your support at WPR.org. We appreciate it. A lack of respect in the workplace doesn't just show up in words, it also shows up in actions. Author Stacey Vanek Smith writes everything from being shut out of key meetings and social events to sexual harassment. Her new book looks at the obstacles that have stood in the way of getting into leadership positions and how to overcome those setbacks and that tired line of, we just can't offer you more money. What is your approach to negotiating a job offer? Have you asked for more? What happened? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Stacey Vanek Smith's new book is called Machiavelli for Women. Stacey, let's look at some of these women you profile who went against the grain, who somehow have achieved what seemed, you know, not possible. Let's first look at Adele Lim, this TV writer who was very successful. What happened with Adele?
So that was one of my favorite conversations. Adele Lim, yes, like you said, a very successful TV writer. She wrote for One Tree Hill and Rain and a bunch of shows over about 15 years. And she got asked to help write the script for Crazy Rich Asians. Mm-hmm. And she was thrilled. This was, you know, the book had been a big hit and they were turning it into a movie. And she was really, really excited. Adele had grown up in Malaysia, so she knew that culture really well. And she was just really, really excited to see it represented on the big screen. She had all these years of experience, and she helped to write the script. She brought, I think, a lot of her experience and authenticity to it, as far as, you know, when they, I don't know if you've seen the movie, but, you know, mm-hmm. there was a lot of travel and the couple yeah. goes to Singapore. And so I think she said that there's a Bible class in the beginning where all the mothers go with their really nice purses and talk about their kids. And she said, my mom is in that Bible class. Mm-hmm. And
She gets signed on to write the sequels and is yes. offered a deal that's dramatically lower than a male writer. What does she do?
She gets offered 1/8. She gets offered like $100,000+ for the two sequels. And her male co-author gets offered $800,000.
Wow.
And so she went back to the studio and said, listen, I'm not going to do this. I'm at least an equal partner in the script. And her co-author, the man, actually offered to split his salary with her so the pay would be equal. But she didn't want that. She wanted the studio, Warner Brothers, to pay them equally. But she had less screenwriting experience. Her experience had been in TV writing, so they wouldn't budge. So she dropped out. She walked away from the project.
And then what happened?
She said it was an incredibly hard decision. I mean, you know, hits like that, they don't come along that often. To be associated with something like that is huge. She was heartbroken, but she felt pretty firm about it. She has a daughter, and she said she just couldn't, like, she wanted to be a good model for her daughter. She directed Raya and the Last Dragon, the movie from Disney. She's now up in Canada directing a movie for Lionsgate. So she's doing really well, but she walked away. She said it was really very, very important to her to be equally valued. And she was in a position where if she wasn't being valued, she could walk away, which not everybody's in, but she said it was important to her. I really admire it. I really, really admire it.
There is a tech unicorn you call in your book, Nehu Narkade. Who is Nehu?
So she is, like you say, a tech unicorn. So she's the founder of a startup that's valued at more than $1 billion. I believe it's 4 billion or maybe 5 billion. You know, these numbers in business get crazy. Hmm. She worked her way up at LinkedIn for years before that. And she's the founder of Confluent, which is like a data company. And she gave great advice, because not only had she worked her way up at LinkedIn, but she also, you know, had started this unicorn company. It's very hard for women to get venture funding in Silicon Valley. They only get 2% of all venture funding. So it was wonderful talking to her and getting her experience, because tech is a very male world. And she, you know, is just killing it in tech. She's you know, really succeeding.
Yeah. And she also, was she the one who said, you know, you have to find out what you need to do and then go do those things and then come back and be like, okay, I did that.
This was wonderful advice for me. It's very simple, but I thought it was very powerful and interesting. So she said, you know, one of the things that happens a lot to women, and I think to a lot of workers, honestly, is you ask for a promotion or you ask for a raise and you get told, no, you're not ready. Mm-hmm. And so, and you know, that can be a matter of opinion often, like who gets an opportunity, who doesn't. So she said what she would do when she got told no, was she'd say, okay, great. Well, what exactly do I need to do to get this promotion or this raise? Like, and she would make a list, like not vaguely, but exactly. Do I need to make 20% more widgets, or, you know, I need to get the team to produce X amount. She would get numbers, and then she would go do those things and come back and say, okay, I did what you asked. How about that razor promotion?
We're going to pause here with Stacey Vanek-Smith of NPR and her new book, back here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about lessons for women in the workplace today and how to address unequal treatment. NPR's Stacey Vanek-Smith has a new book out. We're in conversation with her on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's focus now on our fall membership drive. I'm here with Andrea Schwerbel. You count on the Ideas Network for these great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible. It's listener support that is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We are looking for 12 more people to join in by the next 30 minutes, and we will meet our goal. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So make your donation at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
We're always learning something new here on The Morning Show, and we're talking about the workplace and how women can negotiate and stand up and promote their work and their worth. These are really important conversations to have, and you can count on them from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, which means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes topics like these every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And as the donor, you get to decide how much to give, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the amount that's right for you.
Way you can think of that is that might be what you spend every month on takeout or on entertainment. Those are things you enjoy that make your life better, just like listening to WPR. Whatever you give, the important thing is that you pick an amount that's right for you and make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio wakes me up every morning. Mostly I just enjoy the morning programming and the afternoon programming. I became a sustaining member because I felt so guilty with all the pledge drives, because they're so logical and they're so persistent. It's crucial that we have people support it so we don't lose it.
I'm Sarah from Wausau. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Sarah, thank you. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio, it keeps all the programs you appreciate going strong. And whether you set your contribution at $10 a month, whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
You support the things that make your life more meaningful, and WPR is one of those things. It's where you get information about events going on in our region and world. You also get music and humor and storytelling.
And of course, you want a lot of news and information this year and, you know, coming up. Your support now makes it all possible. So make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 with your gift of the amount that is right for you.
We are looking for 12 more people to support WPR programs in the next 20 minutes, and we'll meet our goal. WPR is listener powered, which is why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR. Say by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Join listeners like Stephanie and Nina, who says, I listen to WPR each morning on my way to work and at night on my way home. The stories are inspiring and thought-provoking. Love listening.
Oh, we love hearing that, Stephanie. Thank you so much. Your gift is powerful. It makes such a difference at WPR.org. Thank you so much for your support. The new book is called Machiavelli for Women, and it got me thinking a lot about my experiences. Returning to work after having my twins at 12 weeks, they were tiny, I rarely slept, but I made sure my morning edition hosting and local newscasts were clear and seamless, full of energy, no hiccups. And when I interviewed at WPR, I did my best to hide the fact that I have four kids. I was worried they wouldn't think I would be available to step in and host at all different times of the day. Would I have felt that way as a man or asked about balancing parenting and the job demands in the interview? Join in your experiences, 800-642-1234. Stacey Bannock-Smith, co-host of The Indicator from NPR's Planet Money, author of the new book, Machiavelli for Women. Stacey, let's talk motherhood and workplaces being pretty complicated for parents. What are the pitfalls that you find?
Right. Well, I think your experience is really one that is quite common, unfortunately. So yeah, I mean, the data shows us that when women have children, their earning potential goes down. In fact, the pay gap between mothers and women without children is larger than the gender pay gap. And why this particular kind of discrimination is so difficult is that it's often quite well-intentioned in a way. So it's people saying like, oh, you know, we don't wanna put, you know, Kate on this big project. She's got baby twins. We can't do that to her. So it's often done under the guise of help giving someone a break or helping them out. To be clear, this does not happen to men. Men's earning potential goes up when they have children. I think it's a really difficult situation that a lot of women are in. They end up getting kind of sidetracked. Their pay goes down. They end up getting what is often called mommy tracked. And this can be really difficult, especially at a time when you have, you know, babies at home and you're dealing with all the things that come with babies and young kids, in addition, sort of trying to pretend like you don't have children, which is one of the pieces of advice I gave in the book that I was the most conflicted about. I gave it because it's what the research showed would be the most useful. But your experience of kind of not necessarily maybe hiding your kids, but downplaying them or not mentioning them, it's very common. And it's actually it's smart advice. I hate, like, it catches in my throat. I hate to say it, but it is smart advice to sort of de-emphasize that, because people, it's such a powerful association of like, oh, you're a mother now, you're not a serious broadcaster. Meanwhile, you're probably getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go in to do the morning show and bringing all this energy and all this experience. And, you know, it's easy to, for someone looking at that situation, to discount that and be like, oh, well, she needs to focus on her babies now.
Mm. Let's talk about pay raises. You write that women should ask for raises and more money, but that we should, quote, ask like a woman. What does that mean?
Oh, this is so interesting. So to be clear, I'm not a good negotiator naturally. I think some people really enjoy it. I am not one of those people. the issue that comes up kind of has to do with the hot box situation that we were talking about earlier, which is that when women ask for more, it's often perceived in a negative way. So if a woman and a man both ask for more, and let's say they both get told no, the man will walk away from that interaction. Often bosses will think like, oh, good for him. He's advocating for himself. Whereas when the woman asks, the takeaway is often like, wow, she's a little pushy and selfish, and she sure thinks a lot of herself. Hmm. And it's because asking for more is sort of an assertive thing, right? You're advocating for yourself. And when women do that, it often doesn't sit well with people, unfortunately. So, you know, but still, obviously, we need to be advocating for ourselves and getting more money at the same time. So what I advocate is to kind of try to reset the tone of the negotiation. So it's not like so much like high noon, mano a mano, but it's more collaborative. You know, you go into a negotiation, you say things like, I'm so excited about my future here. I'm so excited about X, Y, and Z project. I see myself growing here. I see myself staying here. You know, I've done a lot of research. I know that the salary range for my position is typically X. I feel like my work puts me into this, you know, category of workers. I feel like I should probably have a new title and a salary that reflect my work. And I'm so excited for our future together. So it's less antagonistic, more, you know, holistic,
how are we going to grow this? Yeah. You also said research there, that you do your homework before coming into this meeting.
Homework is the biggest tip. This was not the tip that I wanted to be the top thing, because it's so boring, but everyone I talked to said the success of a negotiation comes down to the research you've done. And research just means asking other people in the position how much they make, your colleagues. Also, I have a friend who says she emails people on LinkedIn at similar companies. She says she particularly tries to find white men. She said the response has been overwhelming, like 80% response rate. People are so generous with their information. She just says, listen, I'm trying to negotiate my salary. Would you mind giving me the salary range for your position? I'm just trying to get information. And you go into a negotiation, you say, listen, I've done a lot of market research. I know what this position pays. It completely changes the negotiation, because no longer are you saying like, I feel like I should get paid more. I feel like I'm underpaid. You're presenting facts. It's a much different, and I think much better way to go into a negotiation.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Stacey Vanek-Smith, co-host of The Indicator from NPR's Planet Money, new book called A Machiavelli for Women. You can share your experiences in the workplace, 800-642-1234. And Stacey, negotiating isn't all about the money. You have said, you know, think through a list of things that are important to you as part of what you're going to bring to the table. What are things outside of money that are really worth thinking about?
I loved this advice, because I feel like, I mean, I've been reporting on business and economics for so long, I tend to get very focused on money. And I feel like it's an easy thing to focus on in a negotiation. But one thing that the negotiation experts that I spoke with said was, think about maybe 10 things you want, because a lot of things are basically money, but they don't sound like money. So you say, you know, listen, I'd love to go to this training in Texas, or I would like this higher title, or I'd like working from home on Fridays, or I'd like this office, or I'd like to be on this team and off that team. And at moments when you're sort of reached an impasse in a negotiation, and that often happens over money, because it can feel like a zero sum game, then you can introduce new elements. It's like, okay, well, how about instead of a $10,000 raise, an $8,000 raise, but I also get this title bump. And you're thinking, I just thought it was a nice way to think about a job, not just as like, you will pay me this amount for this work, but sort of more holistic, like, how would I be happy in this job? I thought it was, I really liked that advice.
Who throws out a number first, and how should you, go ahead.
This is a big one. Everyone asked me this one. The answer I came up with is not the conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom is you never name your number first, right? Because then you've lost. You put your cards on the table. For women, I think I would, I mean, it depends on how much information you have. If you don't have, if your homework hasn't panned out, maybe don't give the first number. But if it has, I might recommend thinking about throwing out the first number, because women so often will get lowballed. This also happens to people of color, other marginalized workers. And it's really hard to come back from being lowballed in a salary negotiation. I did lay out some ways. It's definitely possible, but it can be really devastating in a negotiation. So if you know, let's say the salary range for your position is $50,000 to $60,000, you can say, well, you know, I've done my market research. I know that this job typically pays, you know, between 60 and 70, you bump it up a little. And so you sort of, you establish yourself as, listen, I know what this job pays.
You're kind of like putting it an anchor, if you will, kind of just setting
it. Anchoring it.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that you said in all caps, do not reveal your past salary to your new employer in negotiations when they ask. And I thought that was really wise advice.
Well, because they always ask, you know, they're like, what are your salary expectations? And I actually got a call from the publisher's lawyer because I recommended lying. I was like, you should just lie, like make up a number that you want to make and say that is what you make. You can just pretend like you're adding in your benefits or whatever, you know, like, and the lawyer called me from the publisher and said, do you really want to advocate lying? And I said, I thought about it and said, no, but it's a thing to think about, you know. but no, don't give your former salary because that anchors it. And if you've been discriminated against in your past job, or even if you're just underpaid, all of a sudden that's getting perpetuated. And they're like, great, if I pay Kate, you know, $50,000, she's going to be thrilled, when really the budget's much bigger than that.
Yeah. We only have a minute or so left. And normally I'd say, you know, where do you see change and hope, and you express optimism. And I'd rather you end with like a strong close that someone out there might hear and say, you know, this is the day, Stacey, that I'm going to do something about this.
Well, I think right now is just, it's such an interesting moment because workers are very in demand. Workers have a lot of power. Companies are really desperate for workers. They're fighting over them. They're fighting to keep them. And so I would say this is a really great moment to think about what you want. If it's working from home, if it's a higher salary, if it's a better title, if it's a new job at a new place. I think now is just a really unique opportunity, especially for women around childcare issues, which can be a big one. I think employers are open to flexibility and open to thinking about work in new ways. So I just think for all workers, honestly, right now is a moment to think about asking for more. It's a really unique moment and it's special. And I think this is a moment to push. We're all exhausted. I mean, we've all been through so much the last couple of years, but I do think right now offers a pretty unique opportunity, at least in my 15 years of covering business. I've never seen a circumstance like this. And I think it's a real opportunity for workers to just advocate for themselves.
And in this advocating for yourselves, calling on mentors as, you know, the wilderness guide, as you say, to the workplace, where should you find your mentors in these moments?
Everywhere, I would say. I mean, obviously at your company, if there are people you admire, you like, you think they do great work, they seem to get along with everyone. Also at other companies, just reach out to people. You want people who are in positions that you admire. You want to know how they got there, who seem happy in their work. And they can help be your guide in really difficult, difficult situations, but also show you opportunities you might not have thought of.
Stacey, thank you for your reporting and for joining us.
That's been such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Stacey Vanek-Smith is the co-host of The Indicator from Planet Money on NPR and the author of the new book, Machiavelli for Women, Defend Your Worth, Grow Your Ambition, and Win the Workplace. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show on the Ideas Network. It is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive going strong. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like the morning show going strong.
That's because listener support makes the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Your gift of any amount right now, it makes an important difference. And you can make the gift at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And we get to the goal, you know, one step at a time, one gift at a time. We're looking for 11 gifts to stay on track here in the next few minutes. When you give, you fund the morning show and all the other WPR programs that you count on in your life. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've been talking about some science and strategies for women in the workplace during this last segment, and I know I'm personally learning a lot, and you probably are too. These are the kinds of conversations that you can count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and it means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And you can ask for the WPR baseball cap when you make a gift. It is a tan colored hat with a bright WPR logo on the front so that your support for the programs you love is on display. And it starts with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the hosts and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. Listener support, it's the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. And that's why your support during this fall member drive is so critical. Maybe you set your gift at $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
We just have a few minutes left to meet our goal this hour, and we're looking for 11 more people to join in. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
That's right. WPR programs, they are listener powered, and it means that your donation right at this moment, it really makes a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We live in a society that is generous, where people are quick to help out and chip in for good causes. And you can continue that tradition of generosity when you support WPR right now.
And if you've never given to WPR before, take that step. Give right now. When you do, you will be funding the programs you and so many others benefit from every day. And many first-time donors give $100 or $10 a month. The amount, though, is totally up to you. The important thing is to make your first ever gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just a couple minutes left, and we are now looking for 8 more people to join in. Ooh. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love that movement. If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's super easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
You'll be joining listeners like Barbara in La Crosse, who listens every morning while working out and says, "It inspires me to get out of bed and get moving, knowing I will start my day being informed." Thank you, Barbara. Make your gift at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And thank you for your support.